All right. Appreciate the opportunity, and it is a privilege. And may I let you know that we do not enter this lightly. This is can be a difficult subject. And let me let you know, to begin with, technology is wonderful. If it were not for technology, the PowerPoint you're about to see, even the resources that I was able to use on this would not have been possible. So praise the Lord that we do have technology. It's just a matter of like with anything else. Remember when the television first came out and the warnings were sounded about the television? Exact same thing. It's not a matter of the technology that we're using. It's how we are using it. And that's really what I want us to look at tonight. I've got a lot of things to say really before we even start. First of all, I do want to give credit to Brian McLaughlin, whose message this came off as off of. Much of the notes that you'll see tonight are from him. We've added some things at the beginning, some things at the end, some meat in the middle. I cannot exhaust this subject. And Thursday afternoon, I sat down and I said, I've got to shrink my notes. And the more I shrunk my notes, the more they grew. So I have supplements and handouts. I have things I've brought with me that if I get to, I'm going to focus basically tonight on the side of the internet. Listen, don't sit here and say, phew, that's not an issue with me, and you're sitting there texting right now. Don't sit there and blow off one side because you're okay in that area. You've got to make the application tonight. I can't make an application. I can't stop at every point and say, apply this to your cell phone. Apply this to your telephone. Apply this to your television. Apply this to your movie watching. Apply this to your video games. Apply this. I cannot do that. So you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you when it comes to application. So I do want to credit Brian McLaughlin. I appreciate the message. By the way, the pastor did not lean over to me and say, you need to preach this message. He did about five times, and each time it was not pointing, it was poking. And he kept saying, you're doing this, you're doing this. So I kept scooting over, and he kept hitting me. But I got his point. The point was, we need this. And the more I studied it out, I appreciate poor Dixie Parker. She'd come by the office in days I was studying for this, and I just preached this message to her. One day I was up on how to cheat on video games. I mean, you buy a video game, and then you can get the code so you can cheat, so you can beat the video game. You know why they want you to do that? She'll go buy another one. And it's all part of a ploy. And so, but she came in one day, and we were on Xbox 360, and I was preaching at her, and poor lady finally left. She was just there to collect my trash. But I got to preach just a couple times to other people. Appreciate it. A couple supplements that are available to you afterwards. They'll be right up front. And I ran some of these off. We can run more off. I did not want to overdo our copier. But A Parent's Guide to the Internet and Safety. This is by the FBI. And it is really, really good. This was just given to me Friday, and I was able to copy it. And so it's up here. Also, InternetSafety.com, a family internet safety game plan. It's a neat little contract that you can have between you and your children. You can word it how you want, but it's a guide for you. And we'll cover some of that in the message tonight. And then Practical Internet Advice, written by a gentleman from South Bend, Indiana. This is very good. And so all those things will be up here for you afterwards. And if we run out, that's fine. My wife will be close. She'll be able to jot your name down, and we'll get you the appropriate handout that you want. Take your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Verse familiar to us. Fortunately, tonight, most of the things that we have, the verses that we have will be on the PowerPoint and in your handout, so we'll use that. But tonight I did want to start with opening the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Most of us know this verse. You can probably quote it. Let's read it together. It says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We are called to be serious, to be sober about this. Not just about this subject, but about living our Christian life. We're to be sober. And we are to be watchful, we are to be vigilant, because we have an adversary. He is a roaring lion, walketh about. When does a lion roar? Have you ever figured that out? When you hear him roar in the wild, it's after he has partaken of his meal. He is letting others know he has won the victory. He doesn't roar right before he attacks. He doesn't roar and warn you, hey, here I come. That's our job tonight. We're here to warn you and say, hey, the devil's on his way. And this is one area tonight that we're going to look at. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can destroy our homes tonight, he will. And that's one area the devil wants to destroy. He wants to win the battle in the minds of each of us in our home. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is far beyond just the internet. This is far beyond a video game. This is far beyond texting and cell phone and Facebook and on we can go. This is far beyond that tonight. Anything the devil can use to get a stronghold in our lives, he will do it. Follow along here. I'm going to read normally when I preach, and I'm going to do my best tonight to stay with us, because if I don't, my wife asked Nicole before we came this afternoon, says, what do you want for a midnight snack? And Nicole kind of looked at her, what are you talking about, a midnight snack? And she says, because Dad's going to go till midnight tonight. So I will not do that. But I will. That's why we have the children. We will go along tonight because we want to do this in one time. We don't want to break this up in two or three messages, which easily we could. We surely could do that. Many, tell you what, go ahead and click that, Jim. This is just to get us started tonight. We're going to look at the progression of technology. How many here remember that, using that? That is great. Some of us remember, we'll do this real quick, Jim, if we could do that. A lot of us remember that, and then some of us, and then we moved on. Technology, there is great progression in technology. Now we're getting a little more modern. Remember the first cell phone when it came out? Remember that? Can you imagine carrying that thing around today? You talk about getting laughed at. Then today, and then now we're to the iPhone, and we have our life, we have our computer. A gentleman a few weeks ago came into our building, and he was asking about motels in town and where to stay. He was dropping off a van here for the church and asked some different things, and I said, can we help you? No, I'm fine. And also he starts doing this thing. And he is making reservations. He is booking airlines. He's calling train. I mean, he's doing everything. He's just standing in the back of our auditorium doing it. I guess he doesn't need my help. Hey, we are technologically advanced, and praise the Lord, we have those things. If you want to jump to the next one, Jim, that'd be great. Also, with progression of technology from the phones, now we'll go. How many remember this baby? Yeah, sure we do. Typewriters and electric typewriters, of course. Then the big old computer. I remember one of my first computer. I thought it was great. There was more memory in my cell phone than there was in the first computer I ever had. Isn't that incredible? And, of course, now modern technology. And, again, there in our hands, what are we holding? We're holding a computer. And so I hope those are off right now. You know what? I have found out there's one thing as I've gone through all this, and I'm not tonight wanting to produce a knee-jerk reaction. I don't want you walking out and say, honey, we're going to pull the plug. That's not the point, because it's easy to pull the plug. It's harder to be vigilant. And I'm going to ask you tonight to be vigilant. I'm going to ask us to wake up and to watch and to look around. And that's what I want us to do tonight, is to be able to do that. So technology is wonderful and it's great. And I'm glad we have it. And we need to be wise in how we use it. Let's follow along in our notes real quick here. Many products that you and I purchase come with a warning label. They're to be used for the intention that they were made. Accidents, injury, even death oftentimes occur when the warning labels are not heeded. The reason for such tragedies is either the public was uninformed or they were indifferent to the warning. I am tonight going to take away the uninformed part. You cannot walk out of here tonight and say, you know, I didn't know anything about this. You're going to be informed. Therefore, my goal is that none of us walk out of here tonight indifferent of the warning. Today, we face a similar battle in our personal lives, our families, and our churches across America. We face a silent danger that is in more than 75% of our homes today. As of 2004, 75% Americans had an internet access in their home. You will find a computer many times in the children's rooms or in a nice private computer room away from the main part of the home. And fortunately, I'm sure in here tonight, most of us do not have that. I trust and hope you don't. Today, the internet is the silent danger lurking to destroy the mind, the heart, and the life of every believer of Jesus Christ. The internet promises instant anonymity, immediate gratification, and total deviation from the beauty of God's plan for one's life. Many, if not the majority, of these computers in the homes of the families in our church are loaded weapons without any safety measures put on them. It's amazing that one would have a gun safe but have no safeguard on a computer. That is an awesome point. Think through that. How many of you in your home, in your kitchen, you have a knife of any sort? Raise your hand. We all do. You're not going to throw every knife out of your kitchen because you need that knife. But you're not going to tell your five-year-old to go get the sharpest knife and have a good time. You're going to warn them. Same thing with tools in the garage. I remember last year when this building was not looking like it is right now, there was a saw that sat right in the middle and says, "Do not touch unless you own this saw." And it was a warning label. Don't touch. I remember seeing that sign. I wanted to touch it. Just a bang. But I didn't. My flesh wanted to. Do you know what? I had no business touching that because I didn't know how to use it. And I didn't want to lose a limb. And we wouldn't have told an 11-year-old to walk in and use that. Hopefully you'll help build the building. Good luck, buddy. But yet we'll hand an 11-year-old a cell phone with unlimited texting and say, "I hope your life ends up okay." Hey, we need to be wise in what we allow in the hands and the minds of our children. It seems that many times parents, I haven't even started yet. It seems that many times parents either are ignorant of computer technology or naive to the dangers that their children are facing. Our prayer is that this warning can be an encouragement. That's our point tonight, an encouragement and help as we seek to help our families face this battle together and not alone. The internet can be a great tool, but also can be a terribly dangerous weapon that the enemy can use in our lives. We must sound the alarm and warn people because God's people have been silent for far too long. The problem is not the internet, the cell phone, the iPod, or the video game themselves. The problem is the heart of the user. We must ask God to get a hold of our hearts and to keep ourselves and our families and our churches pure. So why do we ignore the dangers of the internet and other technologies, cell phones, televisions, iPods, video games, etc., in our homes and churches? By the way, the two institutions that God holds most dearly. First of all, there's a technological barrier. We don't know all about it. My generation was on the edge. And if my generation got involved or got into the computer society, they went rapidly. I was on the bottom edge of that. There's a lot of times I'll call Pastor Brent and say, "I need help," and he'll laugh at me, you know. Or I call my daughter, and she's very knowledgeable about computers. And you know, my generation, generation beyond me, we're mostly are clueless. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, they say. But modern technology and where our young people now are living and growing up, they understand this. So one of the dangers is, hey, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. There's a technological barrier. Also, there's a communication barrier. We are not up on the language of technology, so we are afraid to talk about it. I know you walk in a room, somebody's talking about their gigs and their megs, and you're like, "I have no clue what mine are." And we get embarrassed because our computer's not as big as somebody else's. And so we don't want to learn. We're afraid to learn. In my hand, over 400 different chat abbreviations. We'll talk about this a little bit later. It's amazing. And I'm not saying every teen, every child knows all of these, but it is amazing to me that we can code it, and we'll talk about this, trying to hide from our parents and code things. And we can memorize those codes, but we get upset when the King's Kids worker or the Christian school Bible teacher asks our child to memorize a verse. Well, they can't memorize that. But yet we can memorize a code, how to cheat a video game, or we can memorize, by the way, we can remember stats of professional sports heroes and figures and all that too, and that's a whole other subject. But what we put our mind to, isn't this what we put our mind to, we can do. By the way, we'll talk about this, I can't go there. So, communication barrier, we'll get to it at the end. Ignorant or blind to the problems that can be caused. Sometimes that's willfully. Pulling the cover over our eyes and just saying maybe it'll go away. Listen, it's not going to go away. Lack of concern. There's a lack of concern maybe for the family and the church. Fearful of the can of worms that truth could open. Our pastors preached messages recently on truth. Sometimes we have to face truth. Do not be afraid. Listen to investigate. It's okay, mom and dad, it's okay to ask questions. You're the parent. Where are you going? What are you doing? Why? Who are you talking to? It's not your business. It's my phone. It's mine now. I asked the teens Wednesday night, I said, what is the teenager's biggest addiction in our country right now? They said texting. You know what? You want to see where your child's love is? Take away their cell phone for a week. Now, don't do it now because they're going to know it's coming. But sometimes just do it and see how they respond. You'll know if that's a God or not. We'll look at idolatry in a little bit. Fearful of the can of worms that it may open. Tired of fighting our children, our spouse, our society. Honey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Get off that thing. By the way, there's not a whole lot of good on anything at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you have to hide in a room at 3 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, or mom and dad, your teenagers, you see a little blue glow coming from under their door, they're not studying their homework. So you need to investigate. It's okay. Don't be tired of fighting. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. And he said, we'll fight. No one has ever been hurt. Nobody's ever been hurt or harmed by this. By the way, that's not true, but that can be some people's attitude. Our church, our family, we're exempt. Everybody else, I know this is a problem, but hey, it is not a problem with us. We've got it handled. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. That won't happen to me. That won't happen to my family. The influence of the world. It is no big deal. Hey, we're part of this world. We have technology. We just got to be part of it. Listen, we are part of this world. But we don't have to be like the world. We have to accept it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father. They're of this world. Real quick, 4 warnings. Actually, I added one too. 5 warnings about the message. Again, I already mentioned this, just kind of an addition. Just make sure you apply this tonight in any area that God would put it on your heart. First thing under there, warnings about this message. Don't ignore it as an over-exuberant presentation or an overreaction to a small problem. It is not. Don't ignore it because you are technologically advanced or technologically challenged. Don't say, Pastor Dan, I run my own computer company. I know everything. I know every danger. You know what? Then you are more susceptible. You know what? Somebody told me the other day, Pastor Dan, I know computers so well, I know how to skirt all the codes. I can get through what I want to get through and nobody. And what they're telling me is with God's strength and God's help, God has helped them to avoid that and not to give in to the flesh and give in to the temptation of that. You may be smart enough to decode everything. Don't go in that direction. Don't ignore it. Because you're technologically advanced or technologically challenged. Just because you don't get caught does not mean that you don't have a problem. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. And then don't ignore it because you do not currently have or never will have such devices in your home or available to your children. You say, you know what, Pastor Dan? Don't worry about the whole texting thing. We don't have texting. Listen, your friends or your child's friends have it, you don't know, get this, you don't know who they're getting to text whom. Don't think just because you don't have a video game that your kid can't get on a video game and murder somebody, kill somebody, and rape a woman in order to get to the next level. Listen to me. They know where they can find different things. Do you ever wonder why nobody wants to come to your house and study? You better check out, we'll talk more about this later, but you better check out what's going on in somebody else's home. Somebody else's texting and cell phone. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves. There are some statistics Jim's going to throw up, and I can't, or put up on the board, throw up didn't sound good, put up on the screen. Real quick, pornography and time, every second, 3,075.64 are being spent on pornography. By the way, that's $184,000 a minute. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. I don't have time to show you, and I didn't put it up here because of it. It's so graphic. There is ways. I'm going to tell you how to find it, but you can easily find it using the resources that you have here. There's an internet accessibility at the end of one of these that you can easily find. SafeNet, I believe it's called. And you can go in there and find these same statistics. And there's one that's very, very graphic. I didn't put it up here purposely. But it shows all the different words that are asked for. From porn to pornography to sex to different types of sex acts even. I mean, it's incredibly clear. And what it does, it breaks down ages who ask for it all the way across the board. And we're going to see some of the simple statistics here in just a minute. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. And the reason I bring that out is because the pornography is going on the internet. And that's where it is most easily accessible. Again, there's another chart that shows, and again, didn't have time to put it on here, but another chart that shows over the last few years the decrease of video rentals of pornography and the increase of simply pulling it up on devices that a person can have within themselves. Why do they do that? Because they want to hide it. You can trace a receipt of a dirty movie from video store a lot easier than you can trace something you're doing in your own private life. And so we're seeing still the same problem with pornography. People are just using different mediums to get to it. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jim. Pornographic websites, there's 12% total websites are pornographic. We'll jump down. Internet users who view porn, 42.7 people that use pornography, 42.7. That's not quite half. Received unwanted exposure to sexual material, 34%. How many have ever just typed in a search word and something came up you did not like? Okay, most people in here have. It's like, whoo, get that off. That's why when you go searching, be very, very specific. Be very specific. Even to name, even everything. You can do that. The other day, I was typing in something for Flag and Banner. There's a Flag and Banner company in our city where we need to add a couple flags for our missions conference. And I know it's called Flag and Banner, but I typed in Flag and Banner, Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was safe doing that because there's not that many Flag and Banner companies in Indianapolis, Indiana. But if I had just pushed flag or banner or something very vague or broad, anything could have come up. And so be very, very careful. Get a specific. By the way, that's why you just don't go surfing to go surfing. Have a reason to go into the water. Have a good reason. 1.5 billion monthly pornographic downloads, PTPs, we'll look at that. 89% sexual solicitations. Get this one. That is huge. 89%. Okay, of the sexual solicitations of youth that are made in chat rooms. In other words, an adult or another teen asking for a relationship solicitation of a youth. That's huge. That is huge. Mom and Dad, you need to be scared of that. 72 million visitors to pornography monthly, worldwide visitors to pornography sites. You want to go ahead and go to the next one? We're going to show that this is in your notes. So we're not going to spend a lot of time. I do want to show you this. Average age of the first internet exposure, 11 years old, gang. 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds having multiple hardcore exposure. That means not just once accidentally, hardcore, multiple times. 8 to 16, look at that one. 8 to 16-year-olds having viewed porn online, doing their homework. This one at the bottom. Children, characters, named links to thousands of pornography sites. What that is, I don't want to give you any ideas. What that is, for instance, a character that they'd see, and I'm not going to say specifically it would be a Disney character, but that type. You know, I'm talking a child character. You type in a child character, and it's going to turn into a porn site. Hey, these weirdos know who they're attacking. And so if they can get some little kid to type in Pinocchio, and I'm not saying that's one, I have no idea, and you and I would think, oh, my kid's looking up Pinocchio. Not necessarily. And so that, it's incredible. Wouldn't it be far greater if we used our minds for the good and the honor and the glory of God? It's amazing. It's amazing how minds, and some of you have been, sad to say, products of computer problems just because somebody said, hey, I'm going to make a virus. I'm going to mess a company's computer program up. And you know the pain, staking time that takes to try to get that cleared up, if it will get cleared up. Go ahead to the next one, Jim. Appreciate that. Jim's doing a great job. Adult internet pornography statistics. Men admitting to accessing pornography at work, 20%. Christians who said pornography is a major problem in their home, 47%. Breakdown of male-female visitors to pornography sites, 72% male, 28% females. Ladies are saying, I knew that. Breakdown to porn websites, 26% male, 4% female. Adult dating ladies, look at this one, 64% female. I just want to see if I would be compatible with somebody. When you said I do, you were compatible with your husband. Okay? Don't go. I know people that say, I'm just playing around. Listen, you play around, you will get burnt. So be careful. Be wise. Breakdown of teen porn websites, 82% male, 18% female. Women keeping their cyber activity secret, 70%. Ratio of women to men favoring chat rooms, 2x ladies. Guys, now listen, don't say, man, those women. You know why so many women are looking and searching somewhere else? Because our men and our husbands aren't being men and husbands in the home. They're not being the leaders that we should be in our home. We're off on our little things and playing our little games and doing our little things. We're sitting in our little TV room with our slippers on, wanting our queen to wait on us. And we wonder why are they drawing away? Because we're not being the leaders we should be. So don't say to look at the statistics, say, those wicked women. Chances are, us wicked men have a lot to do with it. Anyway, number one, we're getting started. Number one, first of all, let's look at the danger to yourself. Here's the warning. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body, I'm bringing it to subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore, pastor, preacher, this, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Follow this note. Too many times in our ministries, in our families, we get caught in the trap of preaching one thing and living another. A sad statistic states that an average of 37% of ministers view pornography on a weekly basis. 47%, we already saw that, of Christians say that pornography is a problem in their home. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Continues, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Are we so proud to think that we could not fall prey to the enemy's weapons and devices? We must walk circumspectly in a world where the devil would like nothing else than to see the leaders of our churches, our flock, and the families fall prey to the wolves of this world. Letter A fear of living in hypocrisy. And we already mentioned that a little bit. Pastor mentioned that in this morning's message. We must walk and live truth-filled lives. And that's one of the things why people enjoy the privacy, especially of the internet and Facebook. Much of what a person writes on their wall, not all, but get this, much of it needs to really be checked out to see if it's truthful or not. Quite a few years ago, I had a young man come to me and say, I've got a girlfriend. I said, really? Yeah, I met her on the internet. I said, oh. And he was telling me how beautiful and how wonderful she was. And I said, hey, you better watch out. Chances are she's not what she says she is, or if she's a she. And he said, no, I don't believe that. I said, let me ask you some questions. I said, what did you tell her about yourself? Well, I told her I was, and he told me his height. I said, you're not that tall. I told her how much I weighed. I said, how much did you tell her you weighed? He told me. He weighed a lot more than that. He described somebody totally different than he was. But yet he expected that person on the other end of that chat to be honest with him. We need to be careful. We need to be careful in our honesty. I will walk with my house with a perfect heart. Let it be a fear of losing to impurity. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. By the way, it starts in our thoughts, our eyes, and it's manifested through our flesh or through the rest of us. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A fear of losing impurity. And then let her see a fear of learning from the enemy. Psalm 101 verse 5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look, a proud heart, will not I suffer. Number two, we see the dangers not only to ourselves, and we see number two, and this is where our focus is going to be tonight. Actually, letter C is really going to be the meat, so we'll do our best to get there soon. The dangers to our family. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, reading from Judges 6:25, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Destroy it, get rid of it. And again, I'm not saying throw your computer out the window tonight. What I'm saying is we need to be vigilant. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes our communities. Of course, as goes our community, so goes our cities and our states. As goes our state, so goes our nation. And we don't need to spend a message on that. We have a battle on our hands today, and it is being fought on the battlefront of the home. One of the key weapons that Satan is using is modern technology, and specifically tonight, the Internet specifically. Again, some statistics. We already saw these, so we're not going to dwell on them. Just draw your attention to those one more time. Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? And holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he. Knowing about this danger simply tonight is not just enough. Walking out of here with head knowledge is not enough. Any war that is won by knowing that the enemy is going to attack and how one can defend himself against the attack. By the way, we're taught how to do that in the Bible. Are we not? The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Breastplate, on and on we can go with the different weapons that God gives us, offensively and defensively. Intelligence gathering is essential, and then the carrying out of the battle plan is crucial if victory is going to be attained. Anything worth gaining is going to take work. And if you're going to salvage and save your home, by the way, grandmas and grandpas, this applies to you too. You can glean from this. You can help your children, raise their children. You can encourage them. And listen, senior saints have internets in their home too. None of us are exempt. If we are going to win the battle against the home and the church, we must, first of all, letter A, be familiar with the enemy's devices. Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Why is the Internet so dangerous? So letter A, be familiar with the enemy's devices. Why is the Internet so dangerous? Number one, because mom and dad are no longer the source of information. The Internet now is the source for answers to all kinds of questions. Listen, that is very dangerous and it's very true. We don't have family time. And where'd my kids get... have you ever said, where'd they get that? They're four, and all of a sudden they discover a curse word, and you're going, where'd they get that? TV? Friends? Of course, it's the wicked kid at the Christian school. By the way, I've had a lot of people come to me, Pastor Dan, you need to keep my child away from such and such child. Listen, do you know your kid can get in trouble all by themselves? I know me. I could be the only one in this building, I can get in trouble. I don't need pastor and I, we get each other in trouble, but I can get in trouble all by myself. I don't need somebody else's help. By the way, your child doesn't need somebody else's help. I know your child's the cherub in the church nursery. I understand that. But listen, your child may bite somebody.
Oh, no, my kid.
They have God teeth. You never know. Okay? So don't sit back and say, oh, this could never happen. Communication. Some of you I know are just, you cannot wait to have right communication with your children. By the way, if they're teenagers and they're turning you off, turning you out, your mom and dad, you have every right to tune them in. Okay? So get in their life. Because of the potential secrecy that one can have using it, it becomes a danger. Because of the secrecy. We already mentioned some of the things with that. One thing with cell phone. You realize this? Your 11-year-old girl can walk into her junior high volleyball locker room, take a picture of another friend getting dressed, send it to her 13-year-old boyfriend in the stands. He can look at it, delete it, and not a soul knows that happened. That can happen. It happens all the time. Secrecy. And we know it's an epidemic now. They've entitled it sexting, and it bugs me that the media thinks that's, they just like saying sexting, you know? But that is a huge problem today. Things done in secret, the Bible says, shall be made known. Number three, because of the immediate access that one can have to almost anything they can think of. A thought comes to our mind, hey, let's see if I can find that. Let's see if I can get that. And again, that can be great, great resource. Number four, because it can be unpredictable and present. Excuse me, it can be unpredictable and present an image with no warning. I understand there are times you'll type something in and something comes up and you go, whoa, where'd that come from? And we'll talk about different ways to guard that. Number five, because anyone can become its prey in just a few moments of weakness. That's all it takes. Isn't that incredible? For some of us, it takes years and years and years to build a reputation. It takes one moment to destroy your testimony, my testimony. Lastly, because anything can be shown or written on the internet largely without consequence. And sad to say, although as many guides and rules and government involvement, they can't keep up. They just can't keep up. So what are the potential devices the enemy uses on the internet? And I know this gets lengthy here, but this needs to be said so we have an understanding where all these things are coming from, just to help educate. I am not Mr. Technology. You understand that. Not everybody in here is, but if we're at least familiar with these things, it'll be a great help to us. First of all, of course, there's web browsing. Using the internet to browse websites is like dropping your child off. I love this. I didn't come up with this, by the way. That's why I love it. Child off in the slummiest, most dangerous section of town to wander by themselves. Now, somebody's going to say, well, I'll do that. Well, then you're not a good parent if you'll drop them off in the slummiest part of town and hope they make it home. There are approximately 600 million pornographic websites on the internet today, with thousands being added daily. Are your children protected? Many children using the internet are using the internet to view sinful content and know how to delete the browser history, encrypt, hide files, etc., to keep the secret from their parents. Just because you're not knowledgeable doesn't mean that you need to be ignorant. It's okay to not be knowledgeable, but you can ask questions. You know what? You have smart friends. If you have a problem with the computer at work, you can call somebody that's in the tech field. Just call a techie to your house. Run a check. Problem is, you don't know how to get off what you want to get off first. So we're not going to do it. According to the Boston Globe, only 33% of home computers in America have a filter on the internet access. We'll talk about filtering in a minute. Still, the use of a good filter is one of the best measures against being exposed accidentally to internet obscurity. They are, of course, not perfect, but listen, it's worth the effort. It's worth the try. And if you don't like the fact that they're not perfect, you know what I notice about technology? They all have something in common. You have an on-off switch or a button. Have you noticed that? Your phone just doesn't come on because it comes on. We say, well, I have mine programmed to. Well, the point is, you could program it to be shut off. See, they do have off switches. Your TV, I can't believe that's on. Sunday night after church. I can't believe that's on. Well, don't turn it on. I know it's pretty deep. Hope we can grasp that. Web browsing. I'm being facetious. I know I shouldn't be. Internet chatting. Who are your children talking to online? Never talk, gang. Listen, never talk, kids. Never talk to strangers. Some of you in here won't even talk to somebody in church, let alone talking to a stranger. It's something to be applied. It is something to be applied online as well. So, let me say the whole phrase again to make this make sense. Who are your children talking to online? Okay? Never talk to strangers is something to be applied to online as well. Many internet chat sites where kids or teens are involved are infiltrated with internet predators that are looking to prey on children. Why do your children need to chat online anyway? You're talking about school, friends, maybe how bad the parents are. Most internet chat ends in corrupt communication. A great verse you can use to check all of us. I tell you what, there's a whole message just in this one verse. Whatsoever things are true. Is what you're typing true? Whatsoever things are pure or lovely, of good report. Check everything you write by that verse, and we'll see what that does to your communications. It's a great verse to use to check what you're writing. Do your children use internet cell phone chat abbreviations? We already mentioned that. Many times they either use these to save time typing, which I understand. I do a tiny bit of texting to my daughter in college. I mean, it is incredibly slow. It's easier to push 4, send, hi, Kristen, how are you? It's a lot easier for me to do that. But because of her schedule, because of sometimes she'll text me and it'll be to help her, we'll do that. Did you see the girl that won, how many thousands of dollars in the texting competition? She was all tore up. I can't believe I won. It's like, man, she won a texting contest. Now, in her defense, I think she was excited about all the money she won. But still, it's like she accomplished something great. She texts faster than anybody. Ooh. So, again, it has its place. Just be wise. We can waste a lot of time. Anyway, abbreviations. POS means parents over shoulder. TAW, teachers are watching. Those are different abbreviations that are used often. To be on their best behavior, have you noticed a lack of verbal communication skills, by the way, among our younger generation? How you doing? How's school? That bad, huh? And we, as parents, we can interpret that. Oh, they had a good day. Their lunch was good. Practice was great. Everything's fine. And that, we interpret it. But communication skills. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Social networking sites and blogs. So we have internet chatting. We have web browsing and social networking sites. And by the way, listen, children and teens aren't the only one that can't communicate, by the way. It's not just kids that are drawn away and their life is lived right here. How many of you have ever been at Walmart and run into by somebody right here? That happened to anybody? Absolutely. Happens all the time. How many of you have ever been almost run off the road by somebody doing that? Yes. Unbelievable. I have it here, but I'm not going to have time for it. But a whole section on texting and driving. Dangerous, dangerous stuff. But till a lot of people get killed, we don't do much about it. Number 3, social networking sites and blogs. MySpace.com is one of the largest internet social networking site. This is an older stat. Here's what they're saying about MySpace.com. It's a cyber secret teenagers keep from tech challenged parents. It's a world where the kids, hang on, I've got to put my glasses out for this one. I apologize. There's the generation gap. It's a world where the kids next door can play any role they want, from Dateline NBC. When Dateline surfed MySpace, we found scenes of binge drinking, parent drug use, teens posing in underwear, and other members simulating immoral acts, and in some cases even having it. It was announced this Wednesday. By the way, you're saying, well, Pastor Dan, that stuff's old. I know now we're from MySpace to Facebook. It was announced on Wednesday of this week that Facebook now has over 300 million accounts throughout the world. By the way, that's about equal to the population of the United States. By the way, there are more cell phones than people in the United Kingdom tonight. Doesn't make sense, but there is. Our content, our time. By the way, when you're on MySpace, watch your content. And we're going to talk about some things here in a minute. Watch your time. Listen, it reveals your heart. It's amazing. I had somebody this week say, do you know what so-and-so is saying about you? They didn't tell me who said it. I'm glad. You know what they're saying about your ministry?
They don't care.
Because chances are it's not true. You know what they're upset about, bitter about? I have no clue. It reveals their heart. By the way, if you're a person that just goes on somebody's Facebook just to get the dirt on them, that's not good either. We need to be wise. Don't go searching for somebody's dirt. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Number four, P2Ps or peer-to-peers. BitTorrent file sharing services. Many homes might have a filter to protect against inappropriate web browsing, but many kids are still able to share pictures, movies, songs, and all other types of media unprotected over peer-to-peer networks. And I'm not going to read all those. Number five, pop-up advertisements. 70% of teens ages 15 to 17 say they've accidentally come across pornography while using the internet. I know pop-ups are a pain. Hopefully you have a good internet provider, something that has some filters on it. I'm thankful that our system here at church, we don't get pop-ups. They may not be pornographic, they may not be wicked or evil. They're just bug ya. Advertisements. I don't want a breath mint. And when I want one, I'll go buy one. Or whatever it is. Whatever it is that comes up on there. A car. You know what? When I can handle the financing, then I'll call the people I want to finance. You know? So anyway, it just all that it drives you crazy, doesn't it? Email. No one knows for sure, but estimates say that there are about 171 billion email messages sent per day. This means that almost 2 million emails are sent every second. If you sit at work and all you do is email, you're wasting your boss's time and their money, your company's money. I want to think about that. Well, Pastor Dan, I've got a job where I can do what I want. Are you satisfied with that? Although you could have, then if that's the case, then you can have your devotions for 8 hours a day. That'd be pretty cool. Imagine that. Internet users are said to receive an average of 4 pornographic emails per day, and an average of 2.5 billion of these emails are sent worldwide on a daily basis. If you all of a sudden start to receive tons of spam, chances are that your child has given out personal information, and worse yet, if they're receiving pornographic emails, they have more than likely visited obscene websites. By the way, back on that page, we're not going to go back there, the one that has the children's information on it, look down there, don't do it right now, but look down there at the percentage of young people that give out their address. They need to be careful, they need to be warned with that. Where's the internet accessed? Where's the internet accessed? Jimmy, keeping up with me, I appreciate it. First of all, connecting at home. Modems, DSL, broadband, most homes today, of course, high speed. Always on. Wi-Fi accessibility, laptops. We can get them through Nintendo DS, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, Sony PSPs, PlayStation, cell phones. Your neighbor might have unprotected wireless access that reaches to your home. So it can be connected at home. Connected at school or work. By the way, what safeguards do your child's school or your workplace have on their internet access in libraries and in classrooms? Number three, connect at friend's home. What standards of internet use do your children's friend's parents have in their home? I don't know. I didn't ask. It's not my business. It's your kid. It is your business. Do you have an internet use policy with your children? I mentioned that we have some samples of those that you can take. It's very practical. It's a good idea. Policy with your children that they are expected to obey regardless of where they are located. Number four, connect. Many times it can be connected on wireless cell device And we see that is very clear, very rampant. One thing, use cell phone for making phone calls. And by the way, they are for us a great help. They're an insurance policy. I wouldn't want my wife to be out on the highway without one. But she's not going to text while she's driving down the road. It's a matter of being practical. And so the use of them, the importance of them is, I think, validated. But we just have to be wise in how we use them. Most children and teens use the phone part of the cell phone than any other part of the phone. It's texting, taking pictures. That is one of the largest things. How many have ever used the light on it to find your keys in the dark or anything? Anybody do that? Sure. We all do. There's a lot of things you can use that for. We've gotten away from really the intent. So we can connect on wireless cell devices. How can we fight against this problem? Real quick. Teach God's plan for the family. Yes, we need to teach our children that God has created something beautiful and enjoyable within the boundaries and protection of marriage. Satan uses the fear of parents to hinder them from being the leader of teaching and training in this area. Our children are learning about it improperly. Listen, if you really believe that this is a problem in your home, address it. Deal with it. None of us are above this in our homes. I'm not above it in my home, and you're not above it in your home. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get help. Train your family as to what is acceptable on the internet. Establish boundaries on what is acceptable, and even make a covenant of acceptable use that everyone signs. We already mentioned that. Number 3, talk with your family regarding regularly, and do not be afraid to speak with your children on this matter. Satan has kept this sin in the dark far too long. It's time that we as Christians attack it or tackle it in the broad daylight. Tackle it in the broad daylight of His Word and expose sin so that we can get it out of the lives and walk in victory. Letter B, we need to be faithful to God's plan for victory. Many times our families fail here because we faint when the battle gets tough. Or we let our guard down because the battle's too long. We must stay true to God's plan for victory. It starts with the Word of God. It continues with prayer in our lives and must be finished with the faith, knowing that God can and wants to bless those who live according to His Word. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:22-25, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Real quick, God's plan for victory. Number 1, it may take radical amputation. The Bible says that there's certain things that we are to put off and we are to put on. Keeping the internet in the home is not worth it if it is going to destroy your home. One will never see lasting change and true victory until they, by faith, forsake everything that has hindered their walk. Number 2, radical appropriation, renew, or we are to put on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added. We are worried that we're losing out. What are we worried we're losing out on? I think we think because we're losing out on the privileges and benefits of this wicked world. Listen, you're not losing out on a thing. You're gaining God. You're gaining holiness and righteousness and godliness. Well, I just want to make sure my kids are connected like somebody else's kids. And what are they being connected to? Unless one begins a daily diet of God's Word and a daily desire to please Him completely, he will never see true lasting change. Boy, it reminds me of a message I heard this morning. Repentance is not just turning from sin, it is turning to God. It is a complete abandonment of the things of this world and is unhindered and total. It is on or because of an unhindered and total devotion to Jesus Christ. Then number 3, radical accountability. Speak truth, members one of another. Now letter C. This really, and I know times, I know we're around time, I understand that. But hang with me. Letter C. This is really the heart. As I took Brian's notes and thought through things, God brought to my heart these 9 things that I really believe we need to take a step further and make this really practical tonight. And then One small concluding point, letter D, and then we're done. Be fervent in establishing safeguards. This really, I believe, is the heart of the message tonight. We cannot just hope that our families and ministries would never become a statistic of evil. There are certain steps that each of us must take so we may be properly prepared for the battle that we face on this matter, on this topic. Number one, guard your family. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Listen, Dad, it's our responsibility. It's my responsibility when my child is taught. It's my responsibility when my child sees in my home. It's my responsibility. You say, well, I don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter if I know or don't. It's my responsibility. I better find out what's going on. Well, I don't know who their friends are. Well, then get out of your life and get into their life a little bit. Guard your family. Under that, we are to pray for God's protection on their life. Communicate the possible dangers with your children. Set up guidelines and policies. Be aware of what goes on and in and out of the technology in your home. You're the parents, okay. It's okay when we wrote letters. If your parents, if my parents wanted to see a letter that I wrote as a kid, I didn't have a choice. You say, Pastor, I disagree with that. That's privacy. But you know what? They keep living a private world. It'll be made public eventually anyway. It'll be seen. It'll be obvious. Guard your family. Number two, guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Letter C, guard. Or number three, guard your purity. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, again, honest. Guard your purity in these areas. Real quick, advertisements that pop up. By the way, even advertisements and commercials on television. You know what I'm talking about? You're watching a ball game and all of a sudden you get a commercial for Jay Leno? You could care less about Jay Leno and who he's got on. Some of you could care less, obviously. Advertisements. Isn't it amazing the millions and billions that is spent on advertisement? Of course, they make a big deal at the Super Bowl, how much is spent. Advertisements. Content itself. Guard your purity against advertisements. Content. Video games. By the way, the word game does not mean that it's all fun. You know there are games with prostitutes on it? You know there are games that murders? You know there are games you have to kill a police officer? Rob McNeil, there's games that we got to kill you because you're a cop. You're a bad guy. Oh, they're just going to friends' house. They're just going to have a video game party tonight. What's the content? It's just games. What kind of games? It's okay to ask questions. Video games. Images on phones. By the way, it's easy to get and easy to get rid of. We're making access to evil way too easy. Do you know what image and messages are on your child's cell phone? They'll probably be off in a few minutes. But you can always check. Guard your purity. The point is, guard their purity. You know what? Every teenager in this room wants to be guarded and guided. We jump on their case and we get on them, but you know, there's a statistic I didn't put out. The largest statistics of people that get on pornography are men between the ages of mid-30s to mid-40s. By the way, guess whose parents they are? And guess why one of the second largest use of pornography is 16 to 18-year-olds? Because their dads have the same problem. So if dad's got the problem, the kids we got a problem. And so we need to be wise. We need to be careful. And they may not even know what's going on, but Dad, if we're watching it, we can't be preaching it. Or we're going to be hypocritical. Guard your language. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen, when we're typing and writing things, we say things that we normally would not verbalize. amongst each other, especially at church or in a Christian setting. But we'll get on and oh my gee, and we'll type that in. Your kids do OMG. You look on their text, OMG. That's cursing, gang.
That's exactly right.
That's what it is. And we allow it because it's an abbreviation. It's really fast. You need to see the content. Guard your language. Our language is vital. It does not make sense to your child not to allow cursing from their lips when you allow it through the medium in your home. Well, it's just part of their life. I know they're in the world, and I'm watching CSI Miami or New York or Las Vegas, wherever they're at. And you know, but it's part of their life. It's part of the language. They're startled. They have to swear. But yet you'd get on your kid for cursing and swearing. In some cases, we don't anymore. You know why? Because we know what we're saying and we know what we're allowing in our homes. Guard your language. Now, these last few are very practical and very convicting. Guard your time. Redeeming the time, Ephesians 5:16, because the days are evil. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How much time do you spend looking for bargains on eBay? Reading the wall, playing computer or video games. Monitor your time to see where it's going. And by the way, that just simply means do a check sometime. Just be curious. We have all these statistics. Do your own stat check. Just see how much time you're spending yourself. I'm just wondering where my time's going. Because we're busy people. And just that would maybe help you, even your children. And it takes me vigilant. Number six, guard your integrity. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. But he that doeth truth, you say, Pastor Jan, I was misunderstood on my chat room. Don't let your good be evil spoken of then. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Your secrecy online can produce an attitude of dishonesty. Is your biography on your Facebook accurate? Number seven, guard your finances. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Monitor how much money you spend on your technology and your hobbies. Some of you, especially going through a financial difficulty, do you really need that plan? Do you really have to have all those channels? And a lot of this is prioritizing. Do I really? I don't have money for this, and I don't have money for giving, and I don't have money for the church, and I don't have money for this activity, and I don't have money for that. But what do we have money for? And that's something you need to ask yourself. Guard your finances. Be wise. You have to account to God for that. Guard your family unity. This is one of the biggest, as I went through this, this one's so glaring. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brother, and be pitiful, be courteous. And let us consider one another provoke unto love and to good works. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward another. God wants our homes to be full of unity, not division. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. You'll see in the notes there, individuality is promoted. Creates no social skills in children. We are producing a generation that cannot carry on a conversation and look an adult in the eye. It tears down communication between husbands and wives, children and parents. Handing a child a cell phone and a personal email account is giving independence as is handing a 16-year-old the keys to the car. It creates independence. Promotes a selfish mentality. It's my game. It's my phone. It's my business. It's my life. Dad flies out of church with the family so we can get home to check his fantasy football. By the way, that he already looked on his iPhone during the message to see who won and who lost and how he's doing. Mom becomes bored, so she throws on Desperate Sleazy Housewives while the 17-year-old is in sexting his girlfriend. The 11-year-old's pulling up Miley Cyrus. By the way, this is all going on while they're boycotting the youth activity because they need more family time. See, what we're doing is we're all sitting at home in our own little worlds, and there's no family unity. God has called our homes to be unified. And we cannot be unified with the preaching of our pastor if we're not unified within our own homes, and if we're not unified within our own heart to God. With that, number nine, last one, guard your worship. I believe the biggest problem in our country today is idolatry. What we worship. Jonah worshipped himself. We saw that this morning. He didn't want somebody else to worship God. He had his own reasons. Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Here's why, real quick, we purchase technology. Number one, because it'll make my life easier. By the way, life's not always meant to be easy. Moab hath been at ease from his youth and hath settled on his lees. Because it looks attractive. Philippians 2:7, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. We weren't satisfied with the... It was funny when we saw that first cell phone, remember that great big thing? Looked like we were calling in for reinforcements in the army with that big thing. It's like huge. But that wasn't good enough. Then we had to have the flip phone. Then we have to have the Razor flip phone. Now we have to have the iPhone. Why is that? We'll get that at the end because we're dissatisfied. Because it looks, but many times because it looks attractive. What looks good? I want to look good. By the way, I promote self. Because it brings some type of prestige if we have a certain brand or certain style or so much memory. I mean, you just want to throw out how many gigs and megs you have. It's impressive. Because it brings some type of prestige. Because we covet what someone else has. That's sin, coveting. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. And because we become dissatisfied. PlayStation wasn't enough. Now we have PS3s. Xbox 360. Why? Because we always have something bigger and better. By the way, that can be dangerous in our lives. Finally. And you're waiting for that word. May I say thanks for your patience. This is vital. This is important things. I know there's a little sarcasm I had occasionally. I tried to keep that light. That's my whole purpose. As we end letter D, be fearful of the consequences of failure. If we think, follow this thought, if we think that these dangers are not a big deal, all we need to do is look at the countless marriages and ministries that are being destroyed by the dangerous temptations that lurk online. We could have tonight spent all this time and just given you illustration after illustration of family and ministries that have been destroyed just by one simple hello on an email. And it progressed. And that wasn't our purpose tonight, to sit here and give you stories. I know we gave you some statistics. It's to warn us. Secrecy and availability are two big cloaks of temptation that set people up for disaster. Our children need our protection. We are commanded by God to watch over and to care for the nurturing, for their nurturing. The consequences of failing in this area are too great not to act. We must be proactive in our approach to how we are ministering to our families in this area. If we don't do it, listen, who will? When all is said and done, in my home, the buck stops with me. I can't go back and blame their second, third grade school teacher. I can't blame somebody that they had an encounter with. It's my responsibility. And I want us to understand as parents tonight, as grandparents, it is our responsibility. We must be proactive in our approach. If we don't do it, who will? God's people have been silent long enough about this topic. It's time to start bringing into light what Satan would love to keep hidden in the darkness. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God,
which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Pastor's been preaching messages on his responsibility as a pastor and our responsibility as a congregation. Our relationship with God, responsibility in that. He doesn't do that, and I don't do this tonight just because it's something to do. We sound the warning cry because, listen, we love and we care. And it is so easy. Mom and Dad, it is easier to ignore a problem. None of us in here get a big kick out of confrontation. I cannot stand it. But if I really love and care, I will confront. And the day we quit loving and the day we quit confronting is the day we quit loving. And I pray to God in our church, we'll continue to confront in a loving way, in a right way, in a caring way. Please don't walk out of here tonight and say, Pastor Dan said, get rid of our internet, get rid of our cell phones. That was not the jest. And I hope you saw that clearly. But be sober, be vigilant. Because listen, we all have an adversary. And he wants to destroy us. He does not want our families united, nor does he want our church united. Let's pray.